Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Recreational adult-use marijuana in Delaware became legal in April 2023, but the first state has yet to establish a legal market. That process has been underway for more than a year and a half, but the Office of Marijuana Commissioner has made significant headway, including distributing business licenses for cultivation, manufacturing, and testing facilities. This week, Delaware Public Media's Sarah Petrowich starts her series, Delaware's High Hopes, which will follow three of the license awardees as they launch their businesses. In this first installment, Cultivating a Cannabis Industry, they discuss what it's like trying to establish a new industry in Delaware, particularly with several towns and counties working against them.
For this lottery, the random number selector will randomly select six numbers from a pool of nine eligible applications to receive a conditional micro-cultivation license in Kent County. We will then host a short recess to reset the random numbers.
On October 24th, the Office of the Marijuana Commissioner hosted Delaware's first licensing lottery to award 110 marijuana business licenses to those interested in helping establish the landmark industry. For some, like Tracy Sutherland, entering the marijuana industry has been a long time coming.
I'm a cannabis advocate through and through. You know, I knew once it came legally to Delaware, I was definitely going to want to be a part of it.
Tracy is a lifelong Delawarean who currently owns and operates a trucking and logistics company and was a property manager before that. When it was time to choose which license type to apply for, whether it be manufacturing, cultivation, retail, or testing, Tracy says the decision came naturally to her.
In my mind, it all started with the lab. Once the growers grow their product, if it doesn't, you know, pass in the lab, it can't move on to retail or manufacturing. And then as a public safety and a public health stance of it, it was like, there's only one lab right now in Delaware. So they needed labs to, and I believe it is the most expensive lab in the country. So they needed some competition to bring that pricing down a little bit for everyone else entering the industry. They can afford to get testing done.
But for lifelong Delawareans Kirsten McGuigan and Andrew Kleinstuber, owners of Forest Flower Orchards in Dagsboro, entering the cultivation side of the business just made sense.
We're really excited about being a part of a new industry, and we're kind of just excited and hopeful because the state has made it so that it's all kind of contained within the state, as in, you know, we have to, as growers, to buy seeds from Delaware, other Delaware growers, and the product will be sold in Delaware dispensaries. So it's a really hopefully positive thing for the state, and we can hopefully grow to provide some employment opportunities for other local people like us. And then furthermore, we're just excited to explore really like organic focused, sustainably grown practices and things like that. And we're just excited about bringing that to the industry and hoping that with the small industry, there's a lot of opportunity there.
For Jehan Marcoux, personal and professional experience was also a motivator in choosing his license type. Jehan has a PhD in cell biology from Temple University. His thesis was on studying the structure and function of cannabinoids, which are the active ingredients within the cannabis plant. He has spent the last 15 years working on basic clinical research in the cannabis industry and currently holds the only open testing license in Kent County.
I've spent years working really as an advocate for patient safety in this area, and I've gotten to work with actually as an advisor, along with many other people, to the Division of Public Health in their efforts to create a, you know, safe program for patients and consumers.
The Office of the Marijuana Commissioner only distributed four testing lab licenses, with two of them in Tracy's possession and another in Jehan's. While not a native Delawarean, Jehan says he was drawn to the first state because of its size and how the trade could contribute to creating a more transparent industry than those found in other states.
In some states, if you fail a client for fungal or bacteria testing, they'll just go to another lab that will pass you or pass them. And so I think what's attractive about Delaware is that it is a little more transparent than your average state. I think that they take the regulations seriously and that there's less of a chance, or probably like zero chance, of lab shopping in this state as there are in states with larger number of cannabis companies. So I think that that is very much attractive. Like, oh, we can operate a lab here and it'll be taken very seriously. It won't just be like, ah, just get a rubber stamp so you can sell your products. I mean, if you go to the Delaware website now, I mean, you can look and see how many plants are growing, how many products are available. And I think that as someone, I guess for me, looking for those things like transparency, consistency, fairness, I think that's really what brings me to Delaware.
Safety is also a top concern for Tracy, especially after talking to members of the community who continue to purchase marijuana on the illegal market and say they prefer it.
And I'm just like, you prefer taking the chance of these, heavy metals, pesticides. So just getting the education out there, like the dispensary isn't just Uncle Sam getting their tax cut. It's also making sure that it is a safe product that's out there.
Zoning concerns remain for all licensees. While the bill that legalized recreational marijuana made it impossible for an entire county to ban marijuana business, it did allow individual towns and municipalities to do so. Several towns across the state have already banned recreational marijuana business in its entirety, and Sussex County and Newcastle County have imposed zoning restrictions to ensure marijuana retail locations are not too close to sensitive areas, such as drug treatment facilities, schools, and churches. Tracy holds a lab license in Sussex County and Newcastle County, and watching how zoning ordinances continue to play out could factor into if she decides to keep both of them, but she remains hopeful.
If they can't get locations, if retailers can't get locations, it will end up stopping, my flow of things as well, because if they can't set up shop, the cultivators can't sell to them, they don't need my lab to test. But I kind of don't, I feel like it is going to work itself out.
Within the past few months, Dagsboro joined the vast amount of Sussex County towns that have banned the retail and production of marijuana sales entirely, but Kirsten and Andrew believe they'll remain in the clear.
We are out of town limits, so I know that there won't be a town cannot veto our growing. I suppose if the county puts restrictions on radiuses from schools or from churches or things like that, which they have done with retail facilities, that could hinder the process. But
So
honestly,
far,
it's
they're not going to
yep.
do it.
Currently, a lot of it is coming to fruition as it happens, I guess. So as of now, no problems.
While organic and sustainable farming practices are top of mind for Kirsten and Andrew, keeping the business local is also just as important as they look for experts to help kick things off.
It's definitely our intention to find somebody, whether or not they went to school here or they grew up here. We'd like someone who lives here to obviously come and spearhead the actual growing, because when it boils down to it, there's a lot of not even scientific, just technical aspects that, when it comes to HVAC systems and drying facilities and things just simple as weighing and packaging product. It's definitely better to have a professional. But we are trying to keep things as local as possible, and that's definitely our goal. So it's going to be a balance between finding somebody who's both aligned with our growing practices, because most people don't grow in dirt. When it boils down to it, they're going to grow hydroponically, and that's just not that it's a negative, but it's just not an interest of ours. So we're finding someone who wants to grow in dirt, but then also someone who is interested in starting, not just hopping in and get going.
Jehan is also looking for an enthusiastic workforce as he starts to get his testing lab off the ground.
The biggest thing is going to be finding people who are really passionate about the chemistry of cannabis who want to work in these labs that are opening. And I know that there's a lot of students out there who have completed, whether it's certificate programs, master's degrees, and I think they should take a look at Delaware as a really great place to get experience in this industry.
Tracy says her personal identity has been a driving force behind her entrance into the industry. She's the state's only testing lab social equity license holder and is poised to run the only Black woman-owned testing facilities in Delaware. The state set aside a certain number of licenses to be social equity licenses, and for individuals to qualify, they must have either resided for at least 5 of the preceding 15 years in an area with high rates of marijuana arrests, been convicted of a marijuana-related offense, or have a family member who was convicted of a marijuana-related offense. Tracy happened to meet 2 of the 3 criteria and was able to apply for the licenses at a reduced rate and will continue to receive financial support from the state when starting her business.
In the position to be Delaware's first woman-owned, Black-owned testing facility, and that would be amazing. I guess I'm just waiting for it to happen. And then, I have my 13-year-old daughter. She sees me every day, like trying to put this together. And like, if it could ever come together, it would be like amazing. But as of now, I'm just trying to connect all the dots. It would just be amazing to be able to show people that it's possible. Like, all you have to do is develop a plan and stick to it, which is my hardest part here because it's never been done before.
License holders were required to submit the remainder of their supplemental application material by December 19th, and the state will then begin a thorough background check of each of the candidates. December 19th was also the day the state hosted its second lottery to announce the winners of Delaware's 15 open retail licenses, which have over 500 applicants. The five social equity retail license winners have already been announced, setting the state up to have a potential 30 recreational dispensaries in addition to the medical dispensaries that convert to dual use. As town-by-town zoning ordinances and restrictions seem to be winding down, the state still awaits a major decision from the city of Wilmington in the new year, which is considering a total dispensary ban. As of now, Delaware's adult-use recreational industry is set to be up and running by March or April of 2025. Sarah Petrowich, Delaware Public Media.
Thanks, Sarah. And stay tuned for more from Sarah's series, Delaware's High Hopes in 2025. And stay with us when the Green returns in a moment. We unpack the newly finalized plans for the Brandywine Valley Trail at the First State National Historical Park. That's next on the Green, here on Delaware Public Media.